This is the Maternity Matters podcast from Riley Children's Health. Discussions to help you along the journey from the first trimester to your child's first year. Hi, everyone. Gabby Reith-Miller here from the Riley social media team. And today we're discussing the help that can be provided to pregnant patients through physical and occupational therapy. And to learn more about that, we've got two of our therapists with us today. Lauren and Katie, thank you so much for being here. I would love to start off just by having you each kind of introduce yourselves briefly and explain a bit about what your role is in the maternity tower.
Hi, my name is Kelly Salter. I'm the occupational therapist that's working over there. And I work both with our antepartum patients, or as I like to call them, the try and stay pregnant patients, and the postpartum patients as well. And we can talk a little bit more about exactly what we do a little bit long down the road.
Yes, and I'm Lauren Broniarczyk. I'm the physical therapist who works again with the try to stay pregnant patients and our postpartum patients. I have newly stepped into this role. This program was greatly developed by one of my really good coworkers and friends, Rachel Noyes Finley. So I want to give her a lot of credit with kind of setting all this up. And I'm very excited to kind of follow in her footsteps.
Great. And I love how you guys do refer to those patients as the try to stay pregnant. I've met a lot of those moms, and that is definitely the goal. Trying to get that baby as healthy and big as possible before welcoming them. But I want to start off, Lauren, can you share some of the reasons why a mom who is pregnant might need physical therapy while they're at Riley?
Yeah. So basically, as you probably know, your body changes significantly while you're pregnant, and that can just come with general aches and pains, difficulty moving, nerve pain, something that patients may see an outpatient pelvic floor physical therapist while pregnant. But specifically for inpatient, we see a great variety of populations. We have our patients who come in preeclampsic with high blood pressure. We want to make sure that they are still able to exercise, do basic mobility, but we also want to make sure that that mobility is not causing their blood pressure to rise. So we'll definitely monitor how much activity tolerance they have. Those patients who are maybe on bed rest because their membranes have ruptured, or they are on strict bed rest, making sure that they still are maintaining muscle mass and strength. If a patient's a fall risk, we can prep them for this cesarean and how to mobilize with a newborn with their surgical incision, or even caring for other patients or children at home. And then really any other reason why you would come to the hospital. If you were in a car accident and you broke your leg, you can't put weight on that leg. You're going to need a physical and occupational therapist to teach you how to get up, move around. Our patients just happen to be pregnant. And then any other underlying comorbidities, if they come in with respiratory issues, if they come in because something's going on with their kidneys or they're a fall risk. Really, we will see a patient for any reason or any issue they may have with getting up and moving around.
Okay, that's really helpful to know. And Kelly, for someone that maybe hasn't had therapy in a hospital setting, can you explain a little bit about what occupational therapy focuses on during that time with a pregnant patient?
Yeah, absolutely. So occupational therapy is a pretty wide scope of care. In a traditional acute hospital setting, we do work on some of that functional mobility like Lauren does. Can you get to and from the toilet, in and out of the shower? Can you dress yourself? Some of that more specific daily routine type thing. And we certainly address that with our patients here that may have those needs. The other area, specifically in those antepartum patients, or those patients that are kind of stuck here for a long time, hospitalized, again, trying to optimize the health and delivery of their baby. We also really focus on the mental health side of it. We know that antepartum mental health is the number one indicator of postpartum mental health. So you take these moms that are now in a high-risk pregnancy, they're admitted to the hospitals. I've had patients that have been here up to 10, 11 weeks. Again, just trying to stay here, monitor baby and mom, make sure everybody's healthy and get them to a safe age to deliver. You put them in the hospital room, they lose track of days and nights, and they're wearing hospital gowns and they're not wearing their own clothes and they feel like a patient, and that's going to do a doozy on their mental health, no matter who you are. And then you're often leading into a prolonged NICU stay, which is another high stress event. So really kind of focusing on what can we do to help them keep a positive outlook and keep them busy and work on some natural coping mechanisms to really support their mental health in that antenatal period to ideally prevent or minimize the postpartum depression, anxiety, or other things that might come along with it.
You're so right about that mental, physical connection there. If you're confined to a hospital room and not having what's the typical, I guess, pregnancy experience, it is so vital to have someone like you guys there to help them along that journey. And so just from the experiences you've had so far with these particular patients, obviously the Riley Maternity Tower has only been open for a few months. But what do you see as most important to having these services available for these patients? What kind of effect have you seen it have in just the overall health of these particular patients?
Yeah, and I'll kind of speak to the antepartum population. We also treat all of, like Lauren said, all of our postpartum cesarean patients to kind of talk about surgical recovery. But in terms of the antepartum side, I know there's been a lot of moms that have verbalized that they, you know, I can't imagine what it would be like to be stuck here for 2 weeks, 4 weeks, 8 weeks without having something to do. Or a lot of times I might take moms for a walk outside or take them around the hospital and just get them out of their rooms with when they can be safely monitored by a staff member. And just the feeling of not being as restricted and having a little bit of normalcy in their life, helping them find routines, it helps them be prepared for when baby does come to jump right back into those typical routine roles, as opposed to kind of taking on the role of a patient and somebody that is taken care of by nursing staff. They have a little bit more autonomy and ability to return back to their norm. And I think that we're really honored to have this program here. I think a lot of times there's not very many places throughout the country that provide occupational and physical therapy in the acute setting. So when people are in a hospitalized stay, and I know Lauren and I both feel really honored that both nursing and medical and the therapy management really sees the value in this and supports this program and its development. And then Lauren can talk a little bit more about the postpartum patients that we see.
Yeah, even though I'm relatively new in this role, I can definitely see how our pregnant patients and especially their postpartum recovery, it's really an underserved population. According to a 2018 Agency for Healthcare Research and Quality study with the Healthcare Cost and Utilization Project, I don't know if you know this, but a cesarean section is the most commonly performed inpatient procedure, followed by knee replacements, perineal tear repairs, and hip replacements. And you think how much physical and occupational therapy we put into those hip and knee replacements. Why are these cesarean and tear patients not getting the same care? I tell all of my patients, take the baby component out of it. You had a massive abdominal surgery. And to put it bluntly, those recoveries suck. They're uncomfortable. You don't realize how much you use your abdominals just to breathe, to move, to just be. So a lot of these patients find it super helpful that we are teaching them how to get in and out of bed, to stand up, to walk, so that they feel more like themselves in order to just feel normal, but also so they feel good to take care of baby. So we see per protocol, our cesarean patients more than likely post-op day one, and we're kind of the first ones really getting them up out of bed, helping them move. And then our patients with third and fourth degree tears, we definitely help them get up out of bed and kind of help with positioning, because it's going to be uncomfortable to sit down and all of the potential issues that you could have 3 months, 4 months, 5 months down the road with healing. So we definitely want to empower these patients to feel and move their best, so that way they can get back to being themselves and safely taking care of baby.
Yeah, I know one of my friends had an unplanned cesarean section, and she was just really taken by surprise by that recovery process and what a big impact it had on her body. So I'm sure the patients you see are very grateful to have you both available to them, whether it's, you know, as they're staying in the hospital prior to delivery or in that postpartum time as well, just to kind of get control of their bodies again and get on their way to feeling better.
Well, and I know too, and kind of in the situation that you just spoke of with your friend, there are a lot of times that cesareans are unexpected. They can be emergently done in the middle of a middle of labor that a baby's not tolerating labor. And they can certainly be mentally traumatic to the mom that has been preparing for labor, or there's an emergency happening and she's terrified that something's going to be happening to her baby. And all of a sudden she's in an operating room and she's awake and they're doing surgery, or sometimes they have to emergently, you know, put you under a general anesthesia where you're no longer awake and your support person is not able to be there because of the emergency. So that's another aspect of recovery that we sometimes will address in that. And I think too, we often, you know, if you think about the fact that if you have any major surgery, people are always going to be helping you. And for some reason, when we have a cesarean delivery, which is a major surgery, like Lauren said, the number one surgery in the United States, not only are you expected to go home and take care of yourself, but you're expected to go home and take care of a newborn, which is another thing that we often have help doing. So I feel like recognizing the significance and the impact of this massive abdominal surgery that I think they cut through 7 layers of tissue, different tissues, to get to baby and then sew all those layers back up. So it is a serious operation that, you know, warrants care post-op, and we're thrilled to be able to provide that.
Yeah. And I just wanted to learn a little bit more about what that looks like, the work that you do with the moms. I've had the privilege of being able to see our PTs and OTs work with our pediatric patients. And a lot of that is, of course, kind of play-based. But with the moms, are you kind of just showing them some exercises? Are you doing it with them? I know you mentioned walking around the hospital even, or taking them outside, but give me a little more of an idea of what that looks like when you're actually interacting with the patient.
I think it really depends, again, what patient you're working with. And a lot of times, like when we're working on that activity tolerance in the antepartum population, we are, if it's more for activity tolerance, we're honestly just there to also be a person to hear the patient, because, and Kelly can probably speak to this more than I can, again, these patients are here for a long time. Sometimes they just want somebody to talk to and hang out with them that's not necessarily medical. Like, yes, we're medical, but we can also be there just to be the second part of our title, which is therapist, and listen to them and kind of make them feel a little bit more normal. But for our cesarean and postpartum patients, we have a handout that we go through with them about good biomechanics, pelvic floor recovery, going over scar massage and things that they should look out for while they recover. And even just teaching them kind of how to use good mechanics to interact with babies. That way they are healing while they are a new parent.
That's great to know. And sometimes people listen to this podcast and perhaps they're maybe a few weeks away from delivery, getting ready for that. So if someone is listening to this and perhaps they have some feelings in their body, what are the signs that perhaps a pregnant patient or even a postpartum patient should reach out to a physical therapist or occupational therapist for more guidance in how to best, you know, deal with the changes in their body?
Yeah, I think that that's definitely something that we work with our patients on, in terms of knowing when to address both physical and mental sides of recovery. So from a physical side of recovery, and this really is for both vaginal and cesarean deliveries, you would look out for a pelvic health therapist if you had any incontinence or leaking of urine during activities. We like to tell people that it's common, but not normal. So the phrase that, oh, it's normal that you kind of pee a little bit when you laugh, it's like, no, go see a pelvic floor physical or occupational therapist and get that taken care of. Well, I kind of like to explain it in terms of every other muscle, that if you had an issue with it, you would go see a therapist. If you broke your shoulder, or if you had a hip surgery, again, you would see an outpatient physical and occupational therapist. And while it is a little bit, it's an unknown, because oftentimes pelvic floor therapists do internal exams, so similar to what an OB would do. And then they help you strengthen those muscles and work on exercises that would be working on, you know, pelvic floor strength, so that every time you jump, you don't have a little dribble, or diastasis recti, where your abdominal muscles kind of come apart when you're pregnant, and working on getting those to join back together, pain with intercourse after recovery, after that 6-week vaginal rest, those would all be indicators to go see a pelvic floor therapist, either PT or OT. And then from the mental side of it, again, we really talk about what the differences are between baby blues, which is really a hormonal shift that happens in those first week or two, and like a full-on postpartum depression or anxiety. A lot of people don't really think about postpartum anxiety, which is, I think, just as debilitating maybe as postpartum depression can be. I often point my patients to a website called postpartum.net, which is run by the organization of Postpartum Support International. And they tend to be, they're the leading organization on what's called perinatal mood disorders, which is just depression, anxiety, OCD, all of those things surrounding pregnancy. And they have a lot of great resources there. They have a 24-hour helpline. They have a listing, a directory of people that you can reach out to. And just talking about, I often talk with the patient's support person about when, if mama is in the funk, if she's in the thick of a postpartum depression or a postpartum anxiety, she often is not going to recognize it. The fourth trimester hormones are real and they are overwhelming. So talking with their support person, their partner or their family about, hey, these are some signs to look out for. They can't be away from the baby even for, you know, 5 minutes to take a shower, or they don't really engage with the baby, or different signs like that. And then what the partner can do to support the patient in that postpartum time.
I think the work that you guys are doing is just so meaningful, because for these patients, they're either becoming a parent for the first time or adding to their family, just a huge life transition. So I'm so glad that you guys are there for them. And on this podcast, I always love hearing about the personal motivations that our team members have for doing the work that they do. So I'd love to, as we kind of wrap up here, just briefly hear from each of you about why this particular, you know, work in the maternity tower, what drew you to it? Because I think those answers are always very interesting.
I know for me, I've been a Riley therapist for a couple of years now, working on the pediatric side. And I've always enjoyed connecting with the parents of the kids that I work with. I have two young children myself, and it's always very easy for me to imagine what it would be like if I was on the other side of that bed. And so when the opportunity came around to kind of work with these moms in the anti and postpartum period, I felt very drawn to that population. I love Riley, and I love the spirit that comes to the children's hospital. But being able to come alongside moms in that journey, and especially from the mental health side, I think that, you know, the numbers vary between the studies you look at, but 1 in 5 to 1 in 7 moms have postpartum depression or anxiety or some other sort of mood disorder. That's a huge number. That's up to 20% of our population, and we don't talk about it. And there's a stigma that surrounds mental health, both surrounding pregnancy and in general, that really prevents people from getting the help that they need. I personally dealt with some postpartum anxiety with my own children, and I didn't realize it. And so if I can help another mom to realize it in the thick of it and get the help when they need the help, that's always been one of those things that has motivated me to come alongside and just be open and vulnerable with my patients on what I've dealt with and how we can help them to have great outcomes to prevent that.
And then for me, I definitely feel like I said earlier, this is an underserved population. And I feel like especially from the postpartum side, once a baby is born, the attention shifts from the patient carrying the child to the baby. And sometimes that patient kind of gets lost. And I like to be the person that's like, you are also very, very important. And I want to make sure that you are in the best possible shape you can be to take care of yourself, but also to be a new parent and being able to just feel like yourself. And I think that's one of the things that I love about physical therapy is giving back the things that patients never thought they would lose. Like thinking, oh, I can just get in and out of bed really easily. You have this large abdominal incision or you're severely fatigued. You don't have that anymore. So I really love giving back those little things that you never thought you would have to relearn. And then I really just love empowering these new parents into being the best parents that they can be and feeling like, yes, I can do this. I can move. I can be myself. And they are extremely grateful. It's a very nice breath of fresh air to have people be super excited, because normally physical therapy, getting you out of bed, people are like, I'd rather pass today. It's like, but these patients are so excited to have somebody here just for them to make sure that they are moving and grooving the best that they can.
Well, I just want to thank you both for the work that you're doing, for also taking the time to be a guest on the podcast and just shed a little light on these services that are available to our patients. So thank you so much.
Thank you so much,
thank
Gabby.
You so much. We appreciate it.